It's about that time. I say good morning to you in Dominica, the region, and the rest of the world. Pleasure is mine in the morning as always.
War and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands.
On the internet. TuneInRadio.com. Good morning. Wake up! Wake up, Dominica. Wake up the world.
World won't get no bad.
If you just let it be.
If we just let it be.
They say when you point one finger, you have many pointing back at you. What are you doing about it?
Gotta change it now. Just you and me.
Wake up!
Old people well.
8:04 this time. I want to say good morning to Mr. Leta, who's with me, has agreed to be with me for a few minutes this morning, given his busy schedule. Mm-hmm. Mr. Leta, I know a very, very, very important meeting is being held tomorrow. And I want to, of course, I was saying I want to talk to you a little about the big meeting tomorrow afternoon. We had a recent meeting, maybe 2 months ago, a month ago, turned out to be very, very successful. And I want to say good morning to the public officers. I know your main target tomorrow is the public officers, and of course everybody is invited, all patriots invited to the big one tomorrow at the DPSC. Mr. Leta, good morning again.
Matt, good morning to you, and let me say good morning to all your listeners.
All right, okay. What's on the agenda? I know certainly the offer being given to the public officers will be certainly on the agenda, but there are a number of other issues. Why should I come?
Okay, Matt, I'm glad you have mentioned that there are other issues that will be on the agenda, because the rally tomorrow is not just to talk about salaries, because the truth is we are not yet at a standstill with negotiations. But this is very important, and we want to keep on the pressure, or to keep the pressure on. But there are a lot of other issues which we have to look at, Matt, and you know, we have to understand that public officers, they continue to raise their collective voices in our struggle for justice, for fairness, and for better working conditions. There are a number of issues that affect public officers. The question of appointments, where we have people working for almost a decade and not being appointed, and we're talking about vacant position, Matt. We have issues where people have been acting and recommendations are not being made for the appointment or for promotion, and they have been acting for quite a long time. We are not talking about 2 years, 3 years, or even 4 years. We are talking about in excess of that. The whole question about career path development is something that one has to look at in the public service. When you enter the public service before, you would start, let's say, for example, as a junior clerk, but you know that with qualification, with experience, seniority, and a number of other things, the opportunity would avail itself for you to be promoted even to the highest position in the public service. Those days are gone, where you find people have been brought in from outside. So there is a stoppage where some public officers cannot move to a particular position because people are brought in from outside on contract to fill those positions. So these are issues we have to talk about. We have to talk about the
Of concern to us also is the fact that a number of people are being contracted to do certain work, certain jobs that public officers can do. And the fact also is that in a lot of instances, Matt, you have people who are brought in and placed in positions, and some of the people not even, just imagine, they not even utilize the offices because there is no work to be done. But at the end of the day, they get very, very substantial salaries, gratuity at the end, 20% gratuity at the end of your contracted period, and so on. And we are being told that public officers can get a reasonable salary increase, and so on and so forth. So these are some of the issues we have to talk about. And since we are speaking about solidarity, my friend, we have to talk about the Public Works Corporation, where these guys continue to be ill-treated, those guys who retired or who were laid off after 2 years. Absolutely nothing has been done to pay them their redundancy. So that is something we have to look at. We have to look at the whole question of Solid Waste Corporation. Where else in this world, Matt, that you see guys taking care of garbage in open trucks with plywood on the side, and those guys are...
And no protection.
I mean, I've never seen that happen. I've traveled to a number of countries, and I don't want to make mention of a country, but I know of a country that is even poorer than Dominica, and I not even witnessed that in this country. So these are all the issues that we have to talk about. And of course, the question of salaries will be discussed.
The issue of public works and the latest developments there, will that be on, you know, a top agenda?
Oh, definitely, Matt. And that is one of the reasons why we did not go to that consultation. Matt, it would have been against our conscience that we meet at a consultation. I mean, I'll give other reasons why. And while we are talking about consultation, or we are at a consultation, that these people, these poor people...
You're talking about the CBI consultation?
CBI consultation. That while we'd be at that consultation, we have these guys out there who have been struggling, women who are mothers of children, and the authorities just refuse to pay these people their redundancy benefits. And, I mean, how do you, as a trade union leader, you go out there and you listen to talks and people come up with all sort of nice things, and those members of yours are affected. Although you have been making request upon request, you have been seeking meetings, and nothing much or nothing is happening. The other reason, again, since we're on that, is you can't get a letter to come to a consultation on Monday and you get a letter, an invitation, the Friday. That does not give you any time, Matt, because you see, we have to understand that public service union is not a wash your foot and come in organization. This is an organization, and I'm not boasting, this is an organization that is respected at the international level. This is an organization that is respected at the original level. As a matter of fact, our friends in the region have told us that we are the best trade union in the entire Caribbean. So we get that praise, and we are not going to...
So you need some respect.
Exactly. We need that respect. We can't get an invitation Friday to come to a consultation on Monday. We have absolutely no information. A consultation of that nature, you would have had to make available data and information to those you are inviting so that they prepare themselves to come and make a meaningful contribution. When I'm invited to a consultation overseas, I get a lot of information that I can prepare myself and I can attend. How do you feel going to a consultation where your leadership has been attacked by a senior government minister, and these very same people are going to be there, and the topic for discussion is the very same topic that he attacked the leadership on, including me personally? We have never said, and the records will show, we have never said to use CBI money and pay salary increase. What we have said is that we as public officers, we want our share of the pie of the CBI funds.
You're saying everybody's getting and you need some of that.
So definitely, Matt, let me tell you. Somebody goes to a minister, to somebody. He leaves with a check of $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. I know of people who have gotten assistance from government and who have used that money to buy a motor car, to buy a car. And I can call names, but I won't do that here. Right, I know of people who have gotten money, CBI money, and they have deposited the money in their personal accounts because they had no need for it. Why the public officers were working so hard, making so much sacrifices, why can't they get something reasonable from the CBI? People can get CBI money and can go buy courts and buy a fridge and buy beds and buy everything. When a public officer gets 50% of 1 month's salary, think of a junior clerk getting $1,300 salary. At the end of the month, or you get this one time $650, it is going to be taxed. What can you do with the balance of that? We need to come better than that.
It's interesting. I was talking to somebody in confidence last night, and he said, Matt, you know, courts are receiving monies from government to pay bills at courts, pay off their bills at courts, Dominica, a leading agency as well. It's becoming very troubling.
Exactly. And Matt, you know, you're invited to a meeting, you're told that there will be a panel discussion, but you have absolutely no idea who are the panelists. So we did not feel comfortable going to that meeting, and not only that.
So you were not invited to present at all?
No, we were invited, but not to present. And the other thing, Matt, our position, and that is not a Thomas Slater decision, that is an executive decision. There was broad consultation with the executive. So when people say Thomas Slater is not Thomas Slater, I fully support the position of the executive. I'm part of the executive. And our position was that we would not go. Because you see, the Dominica Public Service Union, we have been requesting dialogue over the years. And we have written the government several times. We have made all kind of announcements or requests to the media, in addition to asking the government, let us have dialogue even when the budget is being prepared. And I believe the best time for this thing is when budget is being prepared. But you have developed your own way of how you spend the CBI funds. And over the years, you have been spending that indiscriminately. Why at this point you are calling us to our dialogue? We're not going there for no kind of show and for just for it to be said that we were consulted. We want to know that when we're consulted to come to something, we go there, we make a meaningful contribution, and at the end, when we see the implementation of certain things, we can look back and say, look, out of those 10 recommendations, these three were proposed by us.
All right. Let me ask you this question, because of course it has been circulating. There are some members, you can choose to answer or not answer, who pressuring the DPSU to accept the 0.50% on 1 month and 3% in the third year. Is that where you're going, Mr.? Do you feel pressured at all?
Matt, as I speak to you now, I can honestly say that there has not been one, I repeat, not one public officer has called the office. Not one public officer has approached me personally and told me that we should accept. This is not true. The position of public officers, I can tell you, is that the government need to come better. So anybody who's saying that we're under pressure, that is not true. I am not aware of any member of the executive who has come to us at meetings. Up to yesterday, we had a meeting, and nobody has indicated to us that anybody is giving them pressure. We are fully aware of what we want, and we are not yet close. What is being offered is not close to what we are looking at. That is the most I can say.
Okay, 0.50% in 1 month and 3% in the third year. Some, from what I'm gathering, say this is attractive. You should accept that.
Well, Matt, people say whatever they want. I think this executive...
This is not an attractive package?
No. The executive is fully aware of what it's looking at. And at some point, if we feel what is being offered makes sense, we will meet with our general membership and we will propose to them. But as I said, as I speak to you now, we are not under, and I say we are under no pressure to accept what is being offered. The other thing I can say is we are in solidarity with the Police Welfare Association in their efforts to get salary increase for public officers. And surprisingly, we are asking for the same level of salary increase. And Matt, I can say that this Dominica Public Service Union, we are not going to accept any salary increase unless we have some kind of discussion, some kind of consultation with the Police Welfare Association, because we believe this thing affects all of us. And since they have been pushing for salary increases, I believe it is only right that at some point, if we believe that whatever government is offering makes sense, we should at least have some talk with them, and we would expect that if at some point they arrive at a position where they feel whatever has been offered makes sense, I believe there should be that level of discussion between the two organizations. As far as the other union is concerned, we know that they did not request a salary increase, so then our discussion has to be with the Police Welfare Association.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a break and come back, and you can ask all your questions you want. And I also have some breaking news for you as well that I want to share. It's big news, I think, for Dominica and a Dominican there who has been just appointed to a senior position in the world. Another Dominican, and I think we have to give it as much recognition as possible. When we come back, we'll share the breaking news with you. Thank you very much for coming back right after this. I'm sure maybe the news personnel are wondering, what is he talking about? We're coming back after this.
It's now a tradition, the annual Mania 7-Eleven Plus Supercenter Big Edge and BG Cell Mother's Day Party. At the Anchorage Hotel on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 14th from 6 p.m. to midnight. Featuring swinging stars, Mr. Mix, Matt in the Morning, DJ Sour Sub, Calypsonians, and Prince Wadix.
Do you have a dear mother?
Lots of prizes, complimentary free glass of wine, and Tony's punch on entrance.
Mama, don't cry.
Entrance $20 and tickets are available from Bullseye Pharmacy, Small X Mobile, Skitter in the Market, Bronze Mavestay, Mimine, and more.
In this place, certain men should hide their face.
Beware they treat them hard, they have disgrace.
Order partners include Courts, Milan's Bar and Grill, Isa Trading, Tony's Punch, Lex Preston's Hill, Anchorage Hotel, Karen Beer, Eve's Deco, TBS Radio, QFM, and more. Take your mom, your mommy, your mommy, your mother, your stepmother, adopted mother, godmother, grandmother, nanan to the Mother's Day party, Mother's Day, Anchorage Hotel, Bama Chesa.
Make sure your mommy
a massive 15% discount going on right now at D&D Hardware on Federation Drive on all plumbing items. Get new rivals on faucets, shower valves, hoses, water heaters, connectors, space basins, toilet sets, plumbing and fixtures and fittings. D&D, we have all the right parts you're looking for. Also get an additional instant 15% discount on all hardware purchases when you let D&D experts do your installations for you. Also get an additional 5% discount on all your PVC pipes. Go on now to D&D Hardware on Lower Federation Drive. Famous only for the best quality, most highly recommended elbow pipes, washers, silicone sealant, bushings, all fixtures and fittings. Can't find an item? D&D Hardware can source any hard-to-find item for you. This massive 15% discount goes on until May 2nd. Call 449-0542-285-9643 to ask about our special save. Big at D&D Hardware Plumbing and Electrical Supplies today. At 15% discount, everything is going fast.
The NCCU continues to transform personal financial services in Dominica, helping you accomplish your long or short-term financial goals. It's your financial solution to increasing your assets, pursuing successful career opportunities with mortgage loans, vehicle or land purchase, debt consolidation, loans to further education, medical or domestic expenses, not forgetting our now-for-now or quick cash loans. Accomplish your goals. Realize your dreams. Visit any NCCU branch today and get your loan solution advantage.
Soul Dancer.
Enjoy the simple things the joy Soul Dancer brings. Go from land to back, get some good natured snack. All natural.
Soul Dancer.
Plantain chips.
Soul Dancer.
Plant to back, get some good natured snack.
It's nature to you in no time. Pick up a pack of Soul Dancer today.
All natural.
Soul Dancer.
Plantain chips.
Soul Dancer.
Plant to back, get some good natured snack.
Q95. Breaking news. As it happens, when it happens. When it happens.
Dominica, the breaking news this morning. We've just received word that Mr. Dr. Thompson Fontaine has been appointed as the Senior Economic Financial Advisor for South Sudan. So that's the news. Mr. Fontaine will be leaving here in the next few weeks for a one-year appointment. But of course, he'll be in Dominica, and he'll be doing this 2 month stint, and you know, taking some weeks break when you do get a chance to be with us in Dominica. So Dr. Thompson Fontaine is now the senior economic financial advisor for South Sudan. That's big news, of course. And we'll get of course Dr. Fontaine to talk to us sometime, maybe during the course of the day, on his new appointment, senior economic advisor for South Sudan. That's some very interesting news this morning. So why can't we use our own Dr. Thompson Fontaine to give us any advice moving forward here in Dominica? We'll talk when we come back. Thank you. So that is the breaking news. We come back and talk to DPSU General Secretary, Mr. Leitao.
Q95, breaking news. As it happens, when it happens.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mr. Leitao, some very interesting news there.
Oh,
and
yes,
we want to congratulate Dr. Thompson Fontaine.
Yes, I want to join in congratulating him.
Thank you very much. But let's move on with the discussion that we're having for the next few minutes here. And of course, government is planning a major activity, and we'll be talking about that next as well, with two members of the opposition United Workers Party. Major activity on Monday, May Day. What do you make of that?
But I am aware that in the Caribbean, it's only one government has done that before, and that was the administration of Dr. Douglas in St. Kitts. He would organize activities on May Day. And that was, again, Matt, one of the reasons why we did not go to that consultation. We cannot sit with you at a consultation on Monday, and in 8 days' time, you are organizing an activity which will affect whatever activities that the union would have organized. May Day is a day that is internationally recognized by the ILO, by all international trade union organizations, by employers all over, as the day for workers, a day for employees. And out of 365 days, I think the government could have find another day where they could have that official opening of the bridge. And not only that, the disrespect comes from the fact that on that very same day, the public officers, some of them will be at work. You can't have the opening of a bridge and for public officers not to be at work. Where is the respect for that day? So I see that as an attempt, as an effort to really destabilize, and that may be strong word, but to destabilize the trade union movement. Why are you organizing an activity on the day, a public holiday that is recognized by the world, it is worldwide, as the workers' day, the employees' day?
Have you been invited to that opening, the DPSU?
No, the DPSU has not been invited.
Okay. All right, let's take a few phone calls and, of course, to talk to Mr. Leitao this morning. Big meeting tomorrow, and we're here to talk about that this morning. And when we come back, too, we'll be talking to a few members of the opposition United Workers Party, very important members of the opposition United Workers Party, on the opening of that historic bridge in Roseau. Hello, talk to me.
Good morning, Matt.
Yes.
Good morning to my boss.
Hi, good morning. How are you, my dear?
I'm fine, thank you. You know I'm home on a Wednesday, so I'll always be... Mr. Leitao, no, let me say congratulations to Mr. Thompson Fontaine. It is so sad that our great minds have to go out of our country to seek work and to see the importance of our great minds out there. And we are here. We, those are here, are not seeing it. Congratulations to him. Mr. Leitao, thanks for not attending whatever they had. I don't even know the name to call it. thank you for the, from the executive. Don't attend. Because a man like you representing a trade union cannot go and sit down in a big classroom and you have no question to ask about the people you represent. So, well done for not attending this whatever they have, because I myself did not listen to it and I'm not interested in nothing Roosevelt's carried up to see. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's take another phone call there. Hello.
Yes, my brother, what's going on?
Good.
Yes, I just want to tell Mr. Leta, I'm really disappointed in all what's going on the island, because there's so much reason why this country should be shut down. They shut it down for simple fact that Michelle's put up the money for the licensing, and they went in protest. So many issues on island. Jobs have been taken away from you all, give it to foreign contractors. Work been taken away from locals and give it to Chinese. So what is going on? I'm disappointed in the whole thing. You all not thinking about the future of the children. You all are not. Like an individual used to be on queue, always said, a lot of individuals don't have the testicular for it to stand up against this government. I'm really disappointed. Really, really, really. That's why they don't respect you all. Scarcity don't have to respect you all, because you all can't even come together on one accord and for our own purpose. I'm really disappointed. Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, this caller is disappointed because he's saying that the DPSU is not interested, it appears,
well,
in shutting down the country.
Matt, I mean, the caller has his opinion and is free to his opinion. And while he's disappointed, I respect his opinion. Matt, we are looking at a situation where you would call a meeting and public officers will not even turn out for the meeting. We have seen a change in that. And that came as a result of the work that we have been doing, trying to mobilize people. You not just get up today and say you're shutting down a country.
But what do you think, Mr. Leta, they're not turning out for meetings? They have not been turning.
Man, listen to what I'm saying. I am saying you cannot just get up today and say you're going to shut down a country. And at the end, you are just like a puppy show. You and your executive are the only one protesting, are the only one there. We recognize that there are a lot of issues, and those issues have been discussed. And we have repeatedly said that we need to have activities where we can bring the members together, we can mobilize our members. And that is exactly what we are doing. If we get down to the point where we have to take certain action, we'll take certain action. But you can only take those actions when you are satisfied that you have the membership behind you. It is no secret, and I make no apology for saying that in the past few years, we never had the members behind us. And we recognize that. We have prepared our strategic plan. We have come up with all sorts of things. And a significant composition of that strategic plan is how we mobilize our members. And we are seeing successes. As you said, the rally the last time was a success. So you have to start from somewhere. You not just do like a mad person and decide, boy, I'm going to make an announcement, I'm going to close down the country because of this, because of that. You not just get up one day and say, look, you're going to have a protest because of this, because of that. At the end of the day, you become a laughing stock, and that is where you give the employer the upper hand over you. So you have to make sure that you do your work. It is patience, it is a lot of efforts, which is what we are doing, and we are satisfied that the union is in success in our mobilization.
Is that an option, Mr. Leta?
What is the option?
Closing down the country?
My brother, protest action is something that any union takes, but you take that at the right time and when you have reason to do it, and as I said, when you know that the members are fully behind you. We are not happy as a union that people's right to protest is being threatened. We believe if there is a protest action and there was an incident coming on the same day, we have the security of forces to ensure that there is not a repetition of what took place. But you do not use that to prevent people from protesting, because every organization, workers' organization, as well as employers' organizations, they understand and they accept that people have a right to protest. But you must have things in place to make sure that the protest does not get out of hand. But to use what happened as a reason to deny people their right to protest is something that we oppose.
8:33, in the next few minutes, of course, we'll be making another stop, but we'll take a few more phone calls from Mr. Leta. Are you there? Hello.
Yes, I am, Matt. Good morning.
Uh-huh.
And to Mr. Leta. Mr. Leta, I like your style and I like your patience. And you have said it all, so I won't repeat it. And, of course, on the big picture, we see now that the Police Welfare Association is speaking openly, and I consider that to be some progress. What are your words on that, Mr. Leta? Good morning.
Well, I must say that, and as I said to the president of the Police Welfare Association, if there is one time that I'm very proud of the Police Welfare Association, is this time. They have shown that they are not going to sit and accept certain things, they are going to speak. And I believe when you represent employees, whether they are police, whether they are nurses, whether they are teachers, whether they are clerical workers, whatever they are, or whoever they are, that this is how you have to approach the situation. You have got to think of what may happen as a result of the position that you take. You have to be open, frank, and represent the people. And I want to commend and congratulate the Police Welfare Association for the position that they have taken.
All right, let's take another phone call here. It's 8:34. A few more minutes with Mr. Leta this morning. A few more questions. Hello.
I say praises, thanks, blessings.
And yes, good morning, sir.
Mr. Pelletier, blessings to your family, sir.
To you too, sir.
Mr. Leta, same here, sir.
Brother, thank you so much.
Yeah, blessings. It's very interesting. Let me congratulate Dr. Thompson Fountain, Matt, on his new appointment. Very interesting.
Are we losing Mr. Thompson Fountain to Sudan, huh?
Another gap for a brain drain, Matt. You know, that's what it is, Matt. If you're not ready, you're better off dead. Go to, what's the place name again? Sudan, wherever it is.
Sudan.
Matt, very interesting. Mr. Leta, Matt, I want to just talk about that whole thing. And I've said it, repeatedly, Matt, where these guys behave like serial killers who eat the victims. So they're serial killers and cannibals. They feed on their own. What is happening to the public service, Matt? It is frightening. And a lot of people have to take note of that because you're threatening the very people who risk their lives to secure the state. And you treat them like, you know, like they're children, like they're nobodies. All little ministers that born yesterday, they're millionaires. They have all kind of wealth in other people's names. And, you know, they have so much stuff, they don't know where to hide it. Banks are turning them away. And you have police officers, teachers, nurses, fire people, and everybody there begging. And come on, give me a break. Matt, something else I want to say in closing. Matt, I have said it already. This is not the same thing. Matt, in terms of when Charles Savran was doing all the thing, or the days of the real power of the union, you had no police with cameras, any little protest, any little ticketing, police come taking your pictures. Now they're victimizing people. I heard Mr. Leta say people just talk, and they were transferred to Timbuktu, Matt. And they have to find their way back to Rose or wherever they are. So to try to make it look like, you know, the Mr. Leta is weak, and the members of the thing, it's just about self-preservation because these guys go feed. They're feeding on the people. So really and truly, according to Mr. Leta, it's all about patience and strategy, planning and everything. And when the right time comes, look at what they're doing to the police. So they're shooting themselves in the foot. I don't know. They work Houdini magic and they might just mend the fences and the police start singing a different song. But I'm just saying there must be a straw to break that devil back, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Thank you, too. It's 8:37. Hello. Talk to me. Yeah, hello.
I must say congratulations to Dr. Thompson and all those people who used to give him bad names. Tell them eat their hearts out now. Sylvian, Albert, and Tony Estefan, eat your heart out.
Thank you, sir. Our final phone call, we allow Mr. Leta to wrap up this morning. Hello, talk to me.
Yes, good morning, Matt. Boy, the Chinese been buffering. Them days I can't even get through. It's like
and
20 minutes later. Brother Leta, I want to say thank you for being a man amongst men, you know, for leadership, like I said, is defined that you know, it's not just, it's not years, it's a juncture, a moment where, you know, you rise. And rising is process, it's technique, it's procedure, and And I applaud what the procedure that you're about. I applaud what the executive, I applaud the planning, I applaud the process. You know, protest is a process, it's not just a, you know, and that is correct. And do it the right way. Build this thing, it's building. I want to call on the patriots, go out and support the workers tomorrow. Support the workers, be in the yard. Let them know that they have people at their back, that they can come out of these jobs. That is what they need. They need a vote of confidence so they can stand behind this executive. So I applaud the process. I want to call on the United Workers Party and Lennox Linton and his brothers. It is time to sit and have a serious consultation on this engaging from this government and this parliamentary process. We have to arrive at that juncture where we have to start disengaging this government, and it is time for us to make that move in that parliament. It is a waste of time going there and having conversations with Roosevelt Scary. A waste of time. We need to legitimize this protest of protest, and the patriots have to get ready, because we're going to have to go out. We're going to have to go out in those kinds of numbers that the police have to be afraid to arrest any of us. You understand? Prepare yourselves. We're going to have to do this. We have to challenge this law and Blackmore. Challenge it. When the law becomes... it becomes grievous to you, you have to disengage from the law. You have to disrespect the law. And Dominicans and patriots, we are arriving at that juncture in Dominica where we have to prepare ourselves to disrespect the law. Disrespect it peacefully, but disrespect it. Peace and blessings, my brother.
Peace and blessings. Brother Leiter, the final words are yours this morning.
Bro, we just want to say to the rest of Dominica, those people who were disappointed, I mean, we respect that. We cannot please everybody. But Matt, we want to assure Dominicans that as a public service union, we have our part to play. And our position is not just to talk about salary increases, as we said, or negotiations. We have a right to speak on any issues. When we look, for example, Matt, at what is happening now in our country, where our local businesses, they are being forced out of operation. We have an example of Easter Trading, where this gentleman has spent so much employing Dominicans, but you know, he's been kicked out of the place because the Chinese has agreed to pay more rent to the owner. So you know what is happening? You have maybe Easter, if it doesn't get somewhere else, having to lay off about 20-25 people. A Chinese comes in, opens a store. And the other thing is, these people are coming in and they are not opening any big thing to employ a large number of Dominicans. Employ a store, and he only needs about one or two people to be in that store. Whereas with the kind of operation that Mr. Issa is doing, he may be employing about 25 people. So that is, you might end up having 25 people out of job because of one Chinese coming and opening a store. And this is the kind of thing, Matt, when we go to the ILO, when we go to all international conferences, these are the things that we talk about. People coming in, Chinese coming in, getting contracts, our own people not being able to do the job. We speak about this thing. The last time I was in Jamaica, I met with the ILO director. And that was one of the issues that I raised. But in your own country, when you speak about it, people label you. Matt, we have a lot of work to do, and I want to assure Dominicans that the Dominica Public Service Union will be at the forefront of the struggle. But people have to understand, now and 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was a different situation. We now have to mobilize people. We have to educate people. Before, the people had their political agenda, and all you had to say was call them and they would be there. It is a different time, and all we need is give us time. Let us do what we have to do. Let us mobilize our members. Let us talk to them. Let us educate them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leiter. Have a great one tomorrow. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
We're coming back after this. Right after this.
The DPSU invites all members and all patriots to a rally for the cause Thursday, April 27th on the grounds of the DPSU building from 4:30 p.m.
We shall overcome.
DPSU, united in purpose, united in action. Come share in our luncheon on Friday, April 28th and our wireless walk to Spaniel Falls on Monday, May 1st. May Day from 9 a.m. Public officers, police officers, fishermen, teachers, firemen, prison officers, all patriots rally for a just cause. Join us on Thursday, April 27th. Them belly full, but we hungry. find the money, he say no, 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 no to 000. And don't forget to pick up your DPSC t-shirts, only $30.
Hey, my friends, y'all know I don't try to do too much videos unless I feel I'm inspired by the Spirit of God to do so. The Lord spoke to me last night. I could hardly sleep. His hands was heavy upon me. And he said, tell my people that I'm shutting down the enemy that seek to frustrate, hinder, or stop the fulfillment of his purpose and mandate that he has placed on your life in this hour and in this season. The weapons may form, but they will not prosper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You remember the story of Daniel, how the enemies of Daniel threw him in the lion's den, hoping that the lions would destroy Daniel. God shut the mouths of the lions. Glory to God. And I say to you today, God is shutting down your haters and those who seek to stop, frustrate, or hinder the assignment that he placed on your life in this season. Listen to me. Receive this. He's shutting them down. Whoever seek to bring you out to open shame in this hour, every undermining spirit, every undermining devil, every plot is getting shut down. In the name of Jesus. Watch this, y'all. And the enemy who seek to continue to pursue you, God said, the same lions that they thought would have destroyed you is the same lions that will destroy them. Read the story of Daniel. You will see what I'm talking about. Share this. Share it with your friends, your family members. Share this with some of your haters. Matter of fact, they will know. They will know. May the Lord bless you, my brothers and sisters. May the Lord keep you. I'm praying for you. And I declare this is your season to shine. This is your season to move forward and fulfill everything that God placed in your heart. God bless you.
Of course, we heard the news that you may have received a mail through, of course, the internet.
It's 8:45. Just want to repeat an interview I had yesterday with Kenneth Rijok before I introduce the officials there of the United Workers Party. Let's listen to Kenneth Rijok again. We aired that yesterday.
Of course, we heard the news that you may have received a mail through, of course, the internet, if you will, and that you will be sued for the allegations that you made against the government.
Well, I made the allegations against the individuals. I was given 3 hours in which to either retract my articles or to pay the penalty. And those individuals that are committing those acts, they're not doing it as officials of the Commonwealth of Dominica. They're doing it out of criminal intent. Those people may hold the office, but the actions that they are taking are not the actions of the people of Dominica. They are the actions of career criminals. And let the lawsuit begin. I intend to get counsel and defend it. And I also intend to take a copy of that lawsuit and give it to the United Nations Security Council, because what's happening in Dominica, especially after yesterday's regulation saying that public assembly was no longer permitted, is the country is going from democracy to dictatorship. And that represents a clear and present danger to the rest of the Western Hemisphere. We don't need another Grenada in the history books of the East Caribbean, please.
So you're saying that you're taking this further?
Yes, sir. I'm going to take the complaint to the United Nations and give it to the American ambassador and explain that Dominica has the potential to become a danger to the peace and security of the hemisphere. And as such, I'm going to call for a United Nations investigation of what is now a virtual dictatorship.
There's also a report as well that you plan to take this to Reporters Without Borders?
That's correct. And to the Organization of American States. You know that there's no real press freedom in Dominica now because of the regime. Therefore, the world needs to know that.
You know, I'll ask you the same question I asked yesterday. Mr. Rejok, what is the objective? Why is Dominica of interest to you at this time?
My interest is purely democratic. I do not like to see it when any country in the Western Hemisphere ceases to become a democracy. When you have a country where votes can be purchased, it becomes, frankly, a regime which will rise and fall on the pockets full of cash of those people who want to corrupt the entire government system. I'd like to see democracy back there, and I'd like to see Dominica not have such a bad rap for being the place to go if you need to buy a passport.
So my understanding of this, Mr. Rejok, is this: you're gonna take this further than it is right now.
Well, it has to be, because it hasn't picked up the attention of the major media either in the UK or in North America. The world needs to know that democracy in Dominica is going to hell in a handbasket.
In the suit, from what I read thus far, they try to say that you're a blogger and you're not a journalist.
Well, they should realize that I live in the United States, and here in the state of Florida where I reside, the court decisions are uniform, that anybody who's a blogger and serves the public interest happens to be a journalist, and he's entitled to all the privileges thereof.
But what is the reaction thus far from all this attention to you, Mr. Rejok?
I don't seek any attention. I'm just looking to put out the fire in Roseau. I'm only looking to be an arbiter of change. I have no stake in the game. I have no political affiliations there. I'm not receiving any blood money from any of the parties. I note that the party in power has hired, at government expense, a company in the United States, which is basically a spin doctor, which has been cranking out all sorts of garbage, putting it out in the media to say how great things are in Dominica and how any of our charges have no legal merit. Well, you can't hide the truth forever, Mr. Skerritt.
Are you surprised, Mr. Rejok, that they have brought us in this lawsuit against you?
No, I'm not surprised at all. What I am really surprised about is that there are international forces afoot in Dominica who are hiding away from the public eye, and I fear that whatever they're engaged in happens to be a problem. Did you know, for example, that the embassy of the People's Republic of China has no formal address and it operates under a post office box? Although I have an idea as to where it's located, I would sure like to see why there's no picture of the embassy on its website. And I'd like to know how many people work there, considering that there right now are no Chinese visitors to Dominica. And I can't find a record of a single Dominican visitor to China at this time. What are they doing with this huge embassy and all of these staff members? Is this an intelligence agency that's spying on Dominica as well as spying on the United States? I'd like to know that.
Are you saying that a lot more questions need to be asked about these Chinese embassy?
Yes, sir. I'm wondering why they are hidden. Why are they underneath some degree of secrecy? And why on earth would they even require anything more than a small consulate in a country with which they have no business? They have no trade, no tourism. There is really no need for visa service. There's no need for passports or tourists who get in trouble, who become ill. The whole thing to me sounds extremely suspicious, and I think it deserves an international investigation.
Mr. Rejok, thank you very much.
8:52 is the morning time. Of course, Dominica, that was an interview with Kenneth Rejok yesterday afternoon on Talk on the Block. I just thought there was need to repeat it to you and for you this morning. But we're here to talk about the grand opening, if you will, of the West Bridge. We're hearing a lot of talk about what's going on, or what will go on Monday, May Day, in Dominica. Here, the Roseau MP, and of course, we have the two Isaacs, very powerful team.
Isaac Squared.
This morning here with me, of course, we have almost one engineer and physical planner, urban developer, with us, and of course, Mr. Isaac himself, an economist and a developer. Good morning, sir. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good morning, Matt. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Of course, Mr. Isaac, good morning. Roseau MP.
Good morning, Matt. And a special good morning to the people of Dominica here and abroad. And very special good morning to the people of Roseau Central.
A lot of talk about the opening on Monday. As a Roseau Central MP, what do you make of what is going on here?
Well, first of all, I must deliver it in a professional manner. As you said, I'm an engineer in background and economist also. So I have to take that in consideration, my professional background, and also as a politician, you know, so I have to balance the act as the MP and look also at the national interest. For me, in regards to engineering, I cannot really say anything negative in terms of the engineering quality of the bridge. As for example, Ace or any other company would have done a good bridge similar to what is done there. So I want to congratulate the engineers, first of all, for doing a good job on the surface that what we can see. So I would like to congratulate them and also say on behalf of the people of Roseau that anything that is bringing economic development to Roseau, we welcome it. However, we are very concerned in how the process was done. We have a law, an act called the Public Procurement and Contract Administration Act. There are two major sections I just want to highlight. I'm not going to read it in detail, but I'll just press it. Section 28 and Section 78. In Section 28, it says that the body, if let's say the Ministry of Works, would have to come up with estimates for projects. So you'd say, for example, for excavation, it would cost X amount. For procurement of steel and the different material, it would cost Y amount. And then you'd say, okay, procurement of labor, it would cost a certain amount. And then you'd come up with an estimate for the bridge. Under Section 78, however, Section 78 says clearly that the procurement official, which would be the Ministry of Communication and Works or Works, whichever department, would have the responsibility to ensure, they have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that we are getting value for money. And also, there is a subsection under 78 which says clearly that there should not be any perceived conflict of interest or conflict of interest or any potential conflict of interest. And it says clearly in that subsection there also that we must ensure we have a competitive bidding process which would ensure that Dominica get value for money. On that basis, I'm saying that we as parliamentarians have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that things are done properly. And if something is not tendered for $18 million, then obviously we'd have to do the research. So we talk to civil engineers, we talk to people like Isaac Baptiste, who have a significant amount of experience dealing with bill of quantities and those matters. We talk to quantity surveyors and all those people there. Everybody is saying that this bridge would cost to up to the tune of $9 to $10 million maximum. And under also Section 78, it speaks about contingency. Section 28, I mean, about contingency. So contingency, we put $1 million. So at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves a question. Why would we make a foreign company make close to, let's say, $7 to $8 million on the back of Dominicans? Where, for example, the Salisbury area, they have bridges that have not been repaired. And we break down an existing bridge to do something where the MP of Roseau North and the MP of Roseau Central, that's me, we were never consulted, we were never nothing was discussed with us. That was never our priority for our constituencies.
So that was not a priority at the start?
No. For example, for Roseau Central, the priority was one, access to proper sporting facility for our young people. And they gave that to the Chinese without consultation with us. Again, a priority for us was, how do we ensure that Roseau is looking at in a better condition as a product for tourism? For example, proper drainage, proper sidewalk, etc. That was the major priority for Roseau at this point in time, because the bridge was operational at the time.
I'm hearing critics and supporters basically saying this was this is a political gimmick, was it, you think?
Well, yeah, again, you have to ask, what is the impetus? Why would you want, in all the national priorities we have, why would you want to build a bridge given directly to a company? And that same company, interestingly, built a bridge in Portsmouth, the Indian River Bridge, I think, based on information from one of people dealing with them, that cost $4 million, approximately, same size, same length. $4 million, and now we give that same company to build the bridge now similar for $18 million. Whereas we have so many priorities in the country. For example, all those bridges we needed to repair, that is one. But for us now, see what has happened to us. We have suffered in the productive sector. The Labour Party, as we said, had a good idea in regards to the coffee plant. Somebody gave them a good idea. We supported it in Parliament. So we are saying, out of that $18 million, you could put another $2 million to ensure that coffee plant open to employ at least 50 to 100 people. We also saying that the abattoir, good idea again, but it's ideas and lack of proper project management and implementation. We say, okay, why can't you put another million there or 2 million? Then you still have 14 million. What about the water project? We gave Charles Maynard, for example, $1 million in consultancy to do some work for the water project. There now we could come now and say, okay, let's put a $5 million to create a proper juicing plant and water plant well together. And so that we can export, again, creating at least a 50 to 100 jobs, sustainable jobs. So that is another example. We still remain from the 14,000, we still remain now about
9,000.
No, I'm saying we, okay. 14 million, sorry. We remain 9 million again. Why can't we now do a boutique type operation like in Grenada? They're doing chocolate, boutique type chocolate in an agro-tourism type of way, where we could have a chocolate factory combined with some agro-tourism project, for example, and then put another 5 million. And then we still remain another 5 or 2, $4 million. So you see how many things we could do to create sustainable jobs. So as a member of parliament and a citizen of Dominica, I must say that we cannot support something that is doing the wrong. For example, I always say, I have never put myself to be so religious and spiritual better than anybody. But I'm saying, if the devil come to you and the devil says, okay, I'm giving you $1 million, I would like your soul, would you give him your soul? No. So if, for example, we have laws in place and a prime minister is coming to you and he's saying, okay, we are breaking the law, we are maneuvering the law, we're doing everything wrong that the Bible itself would condemn, why would we now join that person in celebration of a corrupt practice or a practice that is not in keeping with the law of Dominica? So I'm calling on all Dominicans, right-thinking Dominicans, we, and specifically labor rights, they must understand that I came out from a labor family. My father, Mosupi, he was a labor supporter with Thomas Baptist and all those guys, Patrick John Time. So I know a man who came out from a labor home who had strong links with the Freedom Party, because Freedom Party sent me to study. I am calling on all of them, all Dominicans, innocent labor rights, to understand you cannot let a man lead you in the wrong direction that even Jesus Christ would condemn. He would condemn bribery and corruption. So I'm saying, calling, appealing to all Dominicans across the board, do not come and celebrate a corrupt practice where, for example, you did not even tender the thing properly in a competitive way, where, for example, our Dominican engineers could benefit and the money trickle down into our economy where you can get something. When they bring you to celebrate with them, what's going to happen? The next day or 3 days, a week after, you have nothing to eat, nothing to put on your table. Your table empty, but you have around 15 to 20 of them running the country where they're making millions of dollars and you're there suffering.
Thomas, of course, Mr. Isaac, I just want to ask you a question in relation to what, of course, Joseph just said. This value for money?
Absolutely not, Matt. Good morning again, Matt, and good morning to the listeners of Q95 in Dominica and abroad, particularly the people of the Castro's constituency. Matt, two quick observations before we go into the meat of the subject before us. Interestingly about Kenneth Rojak is the fact that he is away. Anytime he is accused of making things, saying things about Dominica, you can find him and he'll respond. Yet in Dominica, the people who have elected to represent us to answer questions, they are not available and will not answer questions. Let me also extend congratulations to Dr. Thompson Fontaine for his appointment, and to say that, again, you will see the disrespect the last sitting of parliament, the debate of the 2016-2017 budget, they tried to ridicule him. He went as far, one of the parliamentarians on the Labour Party side, he went as far as suggesting that he was probably a janitor at the IMF. And they recently, you just Monday, they had this big conference trying to invite you, the parliamentary opposition and the United Workers Party. And you have a panelist and you have someone like Dr. Fountain not being invited to sit on that panel, and where he could make some tremendous contributions. So once again, congratulations to Dr. Fountain here.
Before you go ahead, I want to join you in congratulating Dr. Thompson Fountain. We are proud of you. I think people who don't know what we're talking about, Dr. Fountain have gotten a consultancy to be a senior advisor in South Sudan, and he'll be reporting directly to the president of this country.
That's big news.
Yeah, big news. And news so Dominicans can be proud of. Forget politics. We are very proud of him.
Yes, Matt, let's put this bridge, West Bridge project, into context. When the Dominican Labour Party came into office, they met on stream, ready to be implemented, and financing basically available because the Kuwaitis were prepared to finance the whole project, the Rosa Road Reinstatement Project. The objective of that project, because during the Freedom Party time, all the roads, the streets in the city of Rosa were dug up and we replaced with water lines and sewer lines called under the sewage and water sanitation project for the city of Rosa. So the United Workers Party said, what is the point of doing temporary repairs to these roads? Let us redo the city of Rosa, all the streets, proper sidewalks, the drains will be properly done, all so that the sidewalks can be more user-friendly, parking provided, etc. The link road, the Goodwill link road at the stadium area was part of that project. And also forming part of that project was to put another lane to the West Bridge. This Labour Party came into office and they did nothing. First government in the history of Dominica with a minister of urban affairs and urban development, and Rosa has deteriorated to the worst conditions ever in the history of Dominica. The same government went and they could find money over $30 million loan to build a palace and the city of Rosa in the condition that it is. Now you found Erica came in, destroyed Dominica to the point where they said we needed $1.3 billion to rehabilitate and restore the economy in the country. So therefore, the government must decide on priorities to do things the right way. In Rosa right now, when they took the decision to demolish the West Bridge, which was functional and operational, you have 8 lanes, Matt, going in and out of Rosa from 4 bridges. The Bath Estate Bridge, 2 lane. The Bath Road Bridge, 2 lane. The existing East Bridge, the East Low Black Bridge, 2 lane. Friendship Bridge, 2 lane. So if you have an emergency and you say, okay, no traffic coming into Rosa, we want to take people out, you have 8 lanes to do that. Your bottleneck probably be in Portersville and those areas, but not in the city of Rosa. So the government had no right, no justification to demolish that bridge and to say that we're going to spend $18 million. I have no problem with the fact that as an urban development specialist, anything you do to enhance Rosa, you might say you support it, but you have to prioritize. So in terms of with respect to the retaining walls or the river defense wall, I have no problem with that. But upstream of Rosa River, in the Bath Estate area, Paradise Valley, you still have houses overhanging the river. We are approaching the hurricane season, and nothing has been done there. But yet you could find $18 million, you see, of CBI money, and you're paying to a foreign company. They're not the contractors, you know. They are basically procuring the material to construct the bridge and providing management. And the cost of the bridge, but anyway.
So who's building it?
Some local Dominicans and they brought in some people. But in terms of the profits, they are controlling it. And the bridge that is there and that project could not have cost more than $10, $12 million. So this company is going to go out of Dominica with some $6 to $8 million. And in the project, a project of that nature doing in the city of Rosa, you would normally what they call the environmental impact. And part of that study would have looked into the question about businesses in the immediate vicinity that would be affected by the construction of that project. Malcolm Stevens and Son, Miniers, Robinson's, all these areas in the immediate vicinity would have irocked, right, would lose business because of the disruption to the traffic flow. The bus drivers that are providing service to areas, you know, south of Rosie, like Pottersville and these areas are going up to Fokoli. They lose a lot of business as a result because the bus stop was right next to that bridge, and the passenger would just walk across and then take there. In fact, they had at some point, they had the police had to go, even giving them warning because they had to be stopping anywhere in Rosie to pick up passengers. And the government would not even say, okay, previous to that project, we had a bus stop next to the property of the family of Roselle Skerritt on Cox Street.
Yes.
So let us put these bus drivers here. They didn't do that.
Yes.
They did not do that. And so you would expect that these businesses would be compensated because in international project design and implementation, they should be compensated for the loss of income for the construction period. So you have a foreign company going out there with $6 to $8 million, and our local businesses or local contractors or local engineers have nothing to benefit. A project like this, you use it to build what they call capacity. Because right now you have the ESME, you have free movement of professionals in the Caribbean. So you want to encourage your Dominicans, you know, develop the capacity so they can compete in St. Lucia. But when you bring in this, you have projects of this nature, you bring in foreigners to do it, it means that local engineers and contractors cannot develop the capacity to go and compete in the other islands. So all of that, and not only that, the Procurement Act was violated. Because under the Procurement Act, the intent of the Procurement Act is to ensure that government gets value for service so that you do not waste too much money in giving projects out. And in this case there, you'd have put it out to tender because it was not an emergency project, so you could not justify giving it out to a company without tendering. And that is why the matter is in court. So therefore, again, the excess money that they're paying to the contractors, the main contractor there. That money could have gone into taking care of all the garbage around the city, around Roseau, and, you know, taking care of the other health services and so forth. And so many of the problems there were basically is the corrupt project. And we are saying that we are telling Dominicans, you had a before party. Before they demolished the bridge, they had a party. Now that the bridge is complete, they're going to have an after party. And at the same time, there are so many social and other issues and concerns, the public workers, that you cannot pay their redundancy pay, you cannot pay them their social security benefits and so on. And then here it is that you're giving money to foreigners to go out there for passport money, and we have so many needs in the country. And that is why we are telling people, you cannot come and celebrate such a corrupt activity. It is a corrupt activity and mismanagement and of this country. And that is why we are going down.
So you think celebrations for the opening of the West Bridge on Monday is not a celebration?
There should be no celebration, because in addition to the issues that I raised, the Freedom Party built how many bridges? The Gluz East Lubak Bridge, similar bridge built by the Freedom Party, no celebration. The Lai River Bridge, Tulane, no celebration. United Workers Party built Bathurst State Bridge. They built Belfast Bridge. So many bridges, there was no celebration. So it's just a way to
what is the purpose?
The intent is political. Because right now the Dominican Labour Party is in decline, and in particular the Prime Minister, so they're trying to provide boost up things than to put him in good light. That is all it's about. But it's at the expense of taxpayers of this country, and in terms of the good management of the country, it's a waste of money. First, a waste of money at the time in terms of prioritizing the needs of the country, and bigger waste of money celebrating the construction and reopening of a bridge.
So because your critics might be saying this morning, why not celebrate $18 million just spent?
You celebrate $80 million if it was spent in the country.
Well, remember what we said, you know, celebrating $18 million. If it was a competitive process and somebody make $1 million profit, you cannot grudge the person, it's no problem. But you cannot not tender something and make a foreign company go away with $8 to $9 million in their hand, while we have so many priorities and so many things to do. And for example,
you seem confident that $8 million was not spent.
But of course, I'm not doing like the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister did not do finance. Mm-hmm. He did not do engineering, but he's an expert in everything. I did engineering, but I'm leaving it to the specialized engineers. So people in civil engineering, I'll talk to them. People in quantity surveying, I'll talk to them. They are telling you across the board, regardless of which government political party they support, they tell you this project, maximum it can cost, maximum, with contingencies, is, as they say, $11, $12 million, max.
Matt, you have an example next door, right where they're constructing the bridge, the river defense wall west of the bridge, built by a Dominican, I think it was Nantan. There was a big controversy over it between the Friendship Bridge and the West Bridge. It withstood tropical storm Erica. It was built for about $400,000. Remember when the other contractors had issues and so on? Same length,
along between the West Bridge and the Isilu Black Bridge. Reinforced concrete, repeating formwork. In other words, you don't have to every time demolish its formwork and rebuild new formwork. It's repeating formwork. That's basically what they're doing.
Yes.
Pre-stressed steel that you purchase from Trinidad or wherever, and you build the abutments to the bridge, and that's what it's all about. And here it is that you're telling me, first time in the history of the Caribbean, I challenge them to identify any other project that was completed, $18 million project with civil engineering works completed in such a short period of time. And because they made so much money, they're giving the government, I'm going to give you some extras. So they'll be doing the lane, the Johnson Avenue, whatever they call it. They are doing all the works around, like repainting and so on, because they know they made a hell of a profit on this project.
In other words, you can use some of the profit to give back. You understand? And
that's what's happening.
Yes. Yeah. But we don't want people to get the wrong message. We want people to understand, as technical people, we cannot talk negative on the quality of the bridge, the outcome. We are talking about the process in which this was done. It was a corrupt process. So we are saying, if you look there, what we would like Dominicans to do is say, okay, cool, it's an okay bridge compared to other bridges we have done. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it, with the bridge itself. We are concerned with the process, and we are concerned with the wastage. We are concerned about the priority, and we are saying that you cannot come and celebrate a corrupt practice.
And unfair treatment.
And unfair treatment of your own people.
Businesses around the area lost a lot of revenue. Because of the construction, and that you should have built into that project compensation for them for the construction period. So it is not right, it is not fair.
All right, we're going to take a break, and sometime later in the hour, we want to talk a little about the international airport. Coming up, the experts speak at 9:14. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
In other news, NBD has dropped their interest rate on vehicle loans to 7.5%.
Babe, turn up the volume on the radio.
The bank encourages customers to take advantage of this opportunity to get full financing on a vehicle with this low rate from now until May 15.
Did you hear that? 7.5% interest rate and full financing?
What's more, three lucky customers will get their vehicle license paid for up to 3 years. Visit a branch, call 255-2300, or go to nbdominica.com for more information and other terms and conditions.
Hun, I'm off to NBD.
Babe, wait for me.
Apply for your vehicle loan today. NBD, your partner, your bank.
Delicious and creamy coconut curry shrimp, decadent and smoky barbecue ribs, mouth-watering seafood, and a wide selection. Try a satisfying glass of our famous Greenhouse Rum Punch. Greenhouse Sports Bar and Grill, the ideal place for casual dining, healthy MSG-free foods. Come and dine with us in our downtown location or on the Merrill Highway. And don't forget our Bayview Catering Hall, where we do weddings, company events, and so much more. Greenhouse is a place for a quality dining experience, drinks, and a comfortable ambiance. Call us in Roseau, 448-0080. In Merrill, 449-7223. Visit our Facebook page, Greenhouse Sports Bar and Grill and Bayview Catering Hall. We work hard at improving our quality to meet your demands.
Comme madame a reporté ça que vous achetez médecine côté qui à pharmacie where Harry do good boss in class if you want to support on line it is how cafe episa and not well my last 2 weeks episa Harry upon yes is true pizza money on support là donc j'ai dit moi pour mettre urine and zimo 3 times a day madame Lily il dit me urine Harry me no medicine vous y pa you and where's the prescription il dit me approche mommy what is the sense of buying that les mon capisier tout le temps no you see the importance of going to your pharmacist listening to your pharmacist and having confidence in your pharmacist fps.plus will they place a higher premium on patient-pharmacist relationship than Quick Care Pharmacy Cote Hasbro just before the National Bank. Cote Quick Care is not just a quick fix. It's not just about tablets and spoonfuls. They've brought back the care into medicine. Whether it's a prescription or over-the-counter medication, the priority is your health. To take the right medication, the right amount for the right reason. Madam Harry, I see you writing your medical book, Next of King. Henrietta, Harry, movie fam. By the way, it's Next of King, Packing. Even Harry, ukaki mo movie. All I want for you is good care. That is why I always recommend Quick Care Pharmacy. Because it helps, bro.
I'll
back.
by popular demand. The biggest tire sale of the year is here. Take advantage of our buy three tires, get one free at Auto Trade Limited. Oh yes, buy three tires and get the fourth tire absolutely free. Dependable, reliable, durable, and affordable GT tires. Offer ends May 6, 2017. Call us at 255-6878 or 255-6891 for more information. Auto Trade Limited is more than a vehicle. It's a relationship.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to be talking to Auto Trade for just about a few minutes here, and then we'll come back to the experts on the international airport being proposed by the Prime Minister. Auto Trade, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good. Good to see you in the house again. It's always a pleasure. What's going down at Auto Trade today?
Well, we promised the biggest tire event of the year, and we've delivered. And
okay.
It's been 2 weeks, and now we're just here to remind you that the driver's pick for 2016, and well, for 2017 as well, because it's been doing very well. More and more people are experiencing the tire, and they're loving it because they're loving the performance, the durability, the satisfaction that they're getting from the tire. And that's the Max Mileage EX. You can't go wrong, you won't go wrong. And at only $850 for a 215/70/15, that's the best price. That's the best value on island.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that people are so attracted to tires at Auto Trade?
Well, it's not only the tire. The tire is good.
There's a deal going on there right now as we speak.
Of course. You buy free tires and you get one free. So like I said, $850. You can get them as low as $690. We have sizes available to you. You can get the 8-ply. If you don't like the 8-ply, if you think it gives you too much of a firm ride, we have a 7-ply available, the Max Tour, maximum touring. So it will still give you that performance over those long drives, over the months that you are looking for. So it's the tires that deliver. We also have the service that cares. So when you come in, you pay one price. We quote you VAT inclusive. We mount on your tires for you. We clean your studs. We clean your rims. We take care of you. We don't just put the tire on and tell you, well, go about your way. No, we make sure that when you leave, you are safer leaving than when you came in.
How do I make my tires durable?
Well, you don't. That's like saying, how do you make your girlfriend pretty?
Because there's some tires out there that won't last you a month.
No, and the thing is, it's about shopping around. You have to do your little research. And if you research and you look up our brands are built on a reputation of quality. GT is a Chinese brand, but a lot of the tires come from China. But GT is a brand that has higher aspirations than where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
They are constantly developing and bringing out new tires and bringing out new information, bringing out new support. So GT is a brand you can depend on.
So that's quality.
For sure. A lot of the GT models that come out, they last. We actually had one instance of a customer who took off the tires before they were finished because he wanted to change them. He wanted to get some fresh tires. I was like, okay, you know what, guys? These tires don't want to finish. Just take them out. Put on the other ones for me because I made you order them and now I'm feeling guilty because the tires is there because the old ones don't want to finish. So the GT is a brand and people from all walks of life are loyal to GT. So it's not because you feel you're driving a Pathfinder or maybe a Beamer. GT might not be the brand for you. You might be surprised. That might be the best tire you ever use.
When we come back, Dominica, we'll wrap it up with Auto Trade right after this.
My brothers and sisters, may the Lord keep you. I'm praying for you.
Back by popular demand, the biggest tire sale of the year is here. Take advantage of our buy three tires, get one free at Auto Trade Limited. Oh yes, buy free tires and get the fourth tire absolutely free. Dependable, reliable, durable, and affordable GT tires. Offer ends May 6, 2017. Call us at 255-6878 or 255-6891 for more information. Auto Trade Limited is more than a vehicle. It's a relationship.
All right, let's wrap it up with Auto Trade before we continue with our discussion with the experts this morning on the international airport proposed there by the Prime Minister of Dominica. Does it make sense? We'll ask the questions to the experts. Well, let's wrap it up with Auto Trade, of course. You can give them a call.
this morning and get the tire that you need.
That's right. 255-6878, 255-6891. Give us a call. We still have batteries on special. So you can also come down, get your batteries. From $180, you get a brand new battery charged, ready to go. If you have any problems with the battery, you can call. You come back to us because we provide service. So service isn't just when you buy the item, it's afterwards as well. If you're having an issue, if you need some technical support, if you just want to ask a question, we are more than willing. We are always happy to help you. We provide a wide range of services, not just mounting your tires, changing your batteries. We also offer alignment, wheel balancing services. We can also fit your tires. If you want to come to us, if you like the way that we did your job the last time, you can come again and we will do it again for you. So we are service providers. We think of ourselves as the best service providers around, and we are more than happy to provide you with whatever service that you need.
Thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll join you again next week on Wednesday.
Of course, of course. You know, it's always good to be here.
All right. So check Auto Trade today. 9:23 is the morning time. The talk continues right here on the big station.
And to advise us on the best suited site. So all of the sites that we'll be speaking about, I will have the occasion to report to the country more extensively on the matter relating to the international airport. But suffice it to say, last year we engaged a firm to do a feasibility study of the possibility of an international airport for Dominica, and to advise us on the best suited site. So all of the sites that we've been speaking about historically, except the one in Porgoglu in Portsmouth, we gave consideration to those sites. I can say to you that what the experts are saying, they did not give much attention to this site, but the best site that they identified was in the vicinity of Ross University on this length of road in Portsmouth. But you understand the associated issues with that. But they have found a site in the north, closer to Woodford Hill, closer to where the WGHs are identified, not the precise location, but certainly in that locality. And they have advised us, and we did a number of studies quietly. Those of you who may have seen a small, I should say it's a small little plane, at Melville Lawn, that was used to do some certain studies and so forth. So a lot of work was done in the last 6 months, quietly. So they came back and reported to us on the 20th of April. With this one site, which we believe would minimize on dislocation, minimize on cotton field that would have to take place. And we will be looking at a runway of 2,500 meters in length and associated accompaniment. The projected cost of it, everything included, except for land acquisition, a complete terminal and all the necessary components of an airport would be in the region of $220 million.
All right, basically, of course, so we're going to engage the experts there for a few minutes, and of course, we'll be talking to Auto Trade Vehicles in a few minutes. But let's talk to the expert there before, of course, we engage with Auto Trade. What are your own thoughts?
But anytime I hear Mr. Roosevelt Skerritt talking about airport and international airport in Dominica, I say quick quack.
You don't believe him?
Quick quack Boashesh. He's from Vegas, so probably must be a good storyteller. And I say quick quack Boashesh, election coming. That is why Skerritt is talking about international airport. Matt, it is ridiculous that this administration should talk about international airport. When they came in, they made all the work prepared. Land purchased, all the studies, the technical studies is completed, and it bet at least $100 million available for the start and construction of an international airport. I myself and Mr. Robinson, we went to St. Lucia and negotiated the 15 million euros that was given by the EU to Dominica for airport development. And this lazy, incompetent administration went to Melville Hall and they're now spending up to $220 million.
U.S.
EC. To put night landing at Melville Hall, well, all studies indicate that there was no future for the development of Melville Hall for airport development.
A waste of time.
Completely waste of time. They could have just taken that money, go to the site of the international airport that was used, all the studies done, construct a runway the length of Melville Hall, the same, it's about 6,000, 5,000 feet, you'd have safe night landing, you'd have no problems about flooding and overtopping of waves, etc. And now they will be talking about extension of that airport to get an international airport. Wasted all the money. Roosevelt Kerry told us the last election that we have photographs of him in China, where he was going to get almost $1 billion to construct international airport and hotel. Where is that? So that's a different company now, because he's under pressure by the Americans. He's telling us it's an American firm that is doing it. So you see, I'm in good relations with the Americans. So that's what it's all about. It is politicking, but he's disrespecting Dominicans. He's completely disrespecting Dominicans and intelligence of Dominicans to suggest that after all you said about international airport, the number of times you have promised international airport, you started by saying that we don't need an international airport, night landing is adequate. All the promises, now you come in because you're now thinking of election. And we told him, no election without electoral reform. You're now talking about international airport. Do not, Dominicans, please, just as far as Mr. Roosevelt is getting international airport, tell him quick quack boashesh.
All right, let's see a quick view from, and I will take a few phone calls and, of course, make a stop this morning with Auto Trade. Yes, Mr. Einstein.
Matt, as usual, I don't take the Prime Minister serious. The Prime Minister has promised several times, several different airports. I don't know which airport he promising now. And as Isaac said, that is Isaac Baptist, Joseph Isaac speaking now. So,
a little confusing.
Yes, as Isaac said, last election, and I want to add to it, you know, he said by January, they'll start works. So the Prime Minister, although I welcome him in regards to his view now, he's seen it as the United Workers Party has seen it for so many years. Always lagging behind time. I've said that we have made mistakes by bringing in the Roosevelt Skerrit as the Prime Minister. I'm so sorry that as a Dominican, that's where we are after 17 years of Labour Party and about 14 years of Roosevelt Skerrit. I would say, for example, one, the Prime Minister cannot tell us where he's talking about in terms of a location. But the same Prime Minister comes and he tells us about a cost. So imagine you want to build a house, you don't have the land, you don't not show where
no
the
design.
Land is. You have no design for the house, but you know it's a 400,000 or 500,000. And he didn't say approximately 200,000, you know. He actually said 220. So, I mean, you see, when people don't have the background, doesn't have the background and the experience. He's always a fiasco. Abattoir, not even a big airport. Fiasco. Coffee plant, fiasco. Almost every project they conceptualize, fiasco. So I'm saying that the United Workers Party is committed to building the international airport. And it's not a story. We have already purchased the land, paid people, everybody. In fact, they said it was record time. So I'm saying that if you are a responsible leader, you cannot have land purchased for an airport already, studies done for the airport already, and now you want to come and reinvent something else where you don't even know the location. That is just completely irresponsible, may say quick quack storyteller, and have always been dishonest with the public, you understand, in terms of the politics. So I would like to ask Dominicans to stay put. Don't be discouraged, especially the young people and public officers. Don't be discouraged. The United Workers Party will transform this economy. Finally, I want to say, and it hurt me this morning, remember I called you earlier and I told you,
yes,
I'm running up to the farm, yes. I gave a nurse a ride this morning. She's hustling early morning trying to reach, I'm not going to say where because they might try to figure out who.
Who is that?
Yes. No incentive, so you have nurses, teachers, public or other public officers, policemen cannot get a duty free for vehicle. to buy from. I'm not going to call a company name before I get blows from my partner.
Auto Trade. Yeah. Okay.
You know, or from Peter Karam, Auto Trade, or Carlton.
You want everybody involved?
Yes, everybody involved. You understand? They cannot get any incentive to be able to do something like that. They cannot get an increase in salary. They cannot ever get anything to support them. But the Prime Minister is bribing people, treating people even ahead of election by giving everybody free things. So you get a house, you're not free house, gas stove, fridge, everything in it, but you don't have a title to the house, you know. But the house they give you is a pay as you go, you know, it's not on your name. So they have you stringing you along Kalinoga territory. Again, free house, free everything, stringing you along
for that vote.
Yes, so it's bribery, it's treating. To me, that is just evil works. To me, a prime minister should just come, decide you're there for 10 years, 15 years, perform, then move on. So you end up an ambassador or something else, and you keep developing yourself and exposing. People used to say I was bright when I went to school. Matt, I've met so many young people now, mm-hmm. and to me, I find they way sharper than me. So why can't we do something where we are giving opportunity to younger people so they can be a prime minister, they can be a minister, because we do our part and we move on. You know? And that's how I'll close it in regards to the international.
All right, let's just take one or two phone calls and then we'll wrap it up. We have to continue with that discuss. Of course, Auto Trade is already here with us. Hello, talk to me. Yes? Hello?
Hey, Mr. Pelty.
Yes, quickly.
Let me give thanks to the Isaac and Isaac too.
Yes, they'll be back. They'll be back, definitely. Yes.
All right. Let me just say two things quickly. Having to do with the brother said he do not take Roosevelt's carrot seriously. I can understand in the context in which he said it. But you cannot have a prime minister of a country skylarking and talking foolishness. He talk about the Ross University site. I want to know, how are you watch that? And the other thing is, Matt, that level of abuse there, I mean, Matt, that is just going to take us deeper down where we are. So I'd really want them to comment on that thing about the Ross University site.
All right, Isaac, I'm going to allow you to comment. We're going to take one phone call and wrap it up here this morning. Hello.
Hello, Mafayas.
Yes, Sakafet.
Hello.
Mola.
Mafayas, Bamadusa. How many now? Prime Minister, I'm an architect. I'm a finance, I'm an architect, I'm a architect. My fire is not fini, Dominic. I'm going to do it. If you have a question, you can free it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm block to
do it. All right, funny problem. All right, thank you very much, Isaac. Let's talk about that possibility. The, what do you call it, the Ross University possibility.
But if I was a prime minister or minister of government and any consultant suggests to me that, listen, that site can take an airport, I'll dismiss him immediately. I would not even come and repeat it in the public. I'll tell him, partner, listen to me. You're not a consultant yet. Go at your home. That is how ridiculous the statement is. Because in there, you have all these apartment buildings, apart from alignment and so on. But it's just ridiculous to even consider looking at the Ross University or the Picard area for an international airport or airport of any magnitude in Dominica. It is just ridiculous and it's laughable.
And the environment.
And yeah, it's just a complete disrespect. And I guess they must be, you know, ignoring Mr. Roosevelt's carrot and telling, well, of course, we looked at the Ross University site as well. But Skerritt probably in his mind, he must have dreamt about it because they have not seen any consultants around here. And most Dominicans in the office will tell you they have never seen no consultants around doing any studies.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. And of course, we have to invite you back here. You seem to make a perfect combination there in the morning. Thank you so much. We have a few stops this morning, business stops, and we have to, of course, thank you so much for coming in. Telephones continue to ring.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you so much.